free. Don't cost nothing. So Hillary White has this essay that this is the subject of today's. This is the subject of today's Veritas et Sapientia at MikeChurch.com. By the by, 9 audio files were uploaded to my site yesterday, including my interview with James Matthew Wilson, my interview with Brother Andre Marie, my interview with Michael Hitchburn, my interview with Chris Ferrara. There's 5 new interviews that young Yakub put up there on the site yesterday. I like that name, Yakub. His mom is probably listening right now going like, oh, he's calling you Yakub. He probably won't like it. So on the site, while you're browsing around to read this Veritas et Sapientia, you can grab some of those digital media file interviews I just mentioned. Hillary White writes this at remnantnewspaper.com. She's one of my favorite writers. She actually lives in Italy. You know, the poll was in the chat room earlier telling me, Medichar, you should get the Mrs. White on the show. She'd make great conversation for talking about poop. She make great excuse to play Catholic air raid warning siren. Great radio. By the way, I'm not coming to Hogs. I told someone to send an email to break news. I told a friend, Joe Miller, to send email to break news gently. You're not come to Hogs. But another good news. I understand that Mitter Monday is making surprise visit. So you're in good company, Mr. Dude, said the Polak. Et tu, Benedict, some final thoughts on Joseph Ratzinger. I'm telling you, when I was reading this, I was reading it going, why didn't you write this 5 years ago, Hillary? Why? It's the only time I'm comfortable saying the name Hillary. Well, it's 2 times. When I'm saying my beloved, adorable Hillary Duff, which I will play in just a moment if somebody doesn't call. I will not abide a whole week of a shutout. Josh Will doesn't count because he's like part of the team. I will play some. I will go Hillary Duff on you people. And when I say Hillary White. And there's an editor's note on this. In a March 11th letter signed by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI and addressed to Monsignor Dario Vigano, Prefect of the Secretariat for Communications, the former Pope reportedly offers an impassioned defense of Pope Francis against the claim that he lacks theological and philosophical formation. In no uncertain terms, this letter, bearing Benedict's signature, affirms that there is an internal continuity between the two pontificates. Whether Benedict actually wrote the letter or not gives rise to a number of grave questions that need to be answered rather urgently before history closes the book on this commedia diabolica, on this diabolical comedy, in other words. And our thanks to Remnant columnist Hillary White. I wanted to just read that because so you know what it is from the point of view that this is being written. Now, before you evangelicals and Protestants and secularists and atheists and agnostics flee for the Breitbart channel or whoever the hell else is on, tempting to do what I do here on this show every day. Kidding about that. But before you flee, this affects humanity. Sorry, but there is but one God. Sorry, there was but one Son of God, born of but one eternal, ever blessed Virgin Mother. We know her as Mary. Sorry, here comes some more doctrine. The Mother of God is venerated. She's not adored. She is not idolized. She's venerated. Sorry, But according to St. John's Gospel, and he was the only one that was there that didn't run like a scared little schoolgirl, on the cross, our Lord ordered us, son, this is your mother. He was talking to you, protester. Mother, that's your son. She didn't disobey. She didn't disagree. The historical record and the tradition says that she lived the remainder of her life as the mother of the apostles, with them. Through all their trials, tribulations, martyrdoms, failures, successes, etc., etc. These are all doctrinal facts that should not be in question. As a matter of fact, if you think any of that is made up, I challenge you, go to my web store. I don't even care if you go to Amazon. Go buy a copy of Michael Hess's Mary of Nazareth book and read it. Go read it. That is a historical, extant, written record of the life of Mary of Nazareth. And all of what I just told you is covered. Having said that, our Lord appointed a pope. What does pope mean? In Italian, papa. What does that mean? Father. A father. Not 38,000. A father. He handed him the keys. He said, I give you the keys of the church that I just gave you upon this rock. This is not subject to interpretation. The only people that want to interpret this in the manner in which they want to interpret it are the revolters and the protesters. That's you as a human, not inspired by the Holy Spirit, making your determination upon what that says, because it was never at issue. Even when the great schism with the Orthodox occurred, the authority of the pontiff and his existence and his appropriateness of his existence was not in question. What he did was in question. So, for the human race that God so loved, he gave his begotten son, right? You ever heard that one before? Not for some people, for the human race. And then he erected a church on this earth, overseen by a vicar of Christ, a successor, and by apostles in an apostolic succession to protect and defend that faith. In other words, I don't care. Even Stephen Hawking, even if he didn't care about it, does it matter? The Pope matters. What he does matters. It matters to all of us. He is the vicar of Christ. Now, if you also have any doubts about the ancient authenticity of the Holy Catholic Mass, again, get that book I've been talking about, The Incredible Catholic Mass by Padre Martin von Kommen, in the Founders Trading Post at MikeChurch.com. I even issued a challenge. Read the first three chapters of that book. If you don't buy it, or if you're not convinced, I will buy it back from you. I will take my personal money and I will buy it back from you, and I will happily sell it to someone else. Now, having said all this, I only say this as preface because what I'm about to say about, or what Hillary is about to say about the pontiff, matters. This matters. It matters to all of us. Even if we remain Protestants and evangelical Christians in revolt, it matters to you. Because his responsibility on earth is to defend that teaching of Christ. And he's the only one that remains still doing it. So, I'm going to skip. This is a very lengthy essay, so I'm going to skip most of this and get to the... Okay, here we go. I want to read to you this part of the essay. This is the last 10% of it or so. Under the subheading, The End of Big Umbrella Catholicism. I'm going to warn you people. If you're a church of happy Jesus with segues and clown masses and no catechism and birth control and all that, You're not going to like this, and you're not going to like me, but I got to read it. Things are coming your way you're not going to want to hear. Those of you that are in the Church of Happy and not in the Church Militant, you're not going to be pleased. I'm just warning you in advance. It's not my goal to make anyone unhappy. It's not my goal to anger anyone, even though I'm always accused of it. Hillary White. The New York Times' Ross Douth, under the subheading, The End of Big Umbrella Catholicism. Hey, Cunningham, this video is for you, by the way. The New York Times' Ross Douth is among those who are starting to ask these kinds of questions. Now, the question is, why did Benedict quit, Pope Benedict? Why did he become Pope Emeritus? She asked this all in the narrative that led up to this. And she basically goes, like, okay, yeah, he did write some more on Pontificum. He did bring the Latin Mass back. He is not an Orthodox conservative Catholic. That's just not true. And Miss White goes through this lengthy examination of former priest Joseph Ratzinger and then Bishop and then Cardinal Ratzinger and then Pope Benedict XVI, goes through a lengthy examination of his writings to show this man is not a Orthodox Catholic, and he never has been. The historical record and his own writings say otherwise. So why did he back out? Because there was someone with more progressive, liberal to-dos, younger and healthier, and would outlast him. That's basically what she's concluding here, which is, to me, incredible. So in other words, it's for the exact opposite reasons that the conspiracy theories are, oh, you know, he was so conservative. You know, they had to get rid of him. They set this scandal up about him and little boys and all this stuff. I don't believe any of that. I think she has actually nailed what happened. And that you got somebody that's even more liberal than me coming in? The College of Cardinals will actually elect this guy? Oh, yeah, they'll elect him. You mean he'll finish the work of destroying the Mass? And destroying the church from within? Oh, yeah, he'll... Not only will he destroy it, no one will recognize it when he's finished with it. Oh, yeah. Hey, man. Hey, Lama. I quit. I'm out. I get to spend my final days in retirement hanging around a Vatican palace? Ha, count me in. That's basically what Miss White has written. They're running for the exes. Ah, I'm in a church, please. Blasphemy. Heresy. No, truth. So that's what leads up to this, okay? So that's a brief summary. It's my summary of what, if I got some of it wrong, Ms. White or someone that knows her is listening, if I got it wrong, send me a note, I'll correct myself. But that's basically what she has written here as narrative for the money shot at the end of this essay that all of you ought to read. And as a matter of fact, you just go to my site at mikechurch.com, click on today's Veritas et Sapientia. The link to the essay is at the bottom of the page. And I quote what I'm about to read to you. The End of Big Umbrella Catholicism is the subheading. Get ready, folks, because here it comes. The New York Times' Ross Douth is among those who are starting to ask these kinds of questions, again, about Pope Emeritus Benedict. Mikey Hixon quotes him, writing of this bizarre situation in which each of the so-called Sankt Gallen Mafia, now this is the internal Vatican Mafia that is tearing at the fabric of catechism and of moral teaching doctrine that's 2,000 years old and comes from our Lord himself. These guys are hitmen. They're inside the Vatican. In other words, the gates of hell are prevailing. And these men are the hitmen. These are Beelzebub's hitmen. Mikey Hixon quotes Ross Douth writing in this bizarre situation in which each of the so-called Sankt Gallen Mafia prelates, including Cardinal Casper, she has a piece in here about this diabolical man, Cardinal Casper, who we all got to pray for because this guy... I won't get into it. Read the essay yourself. Who openly campaigned for the effective abolition of Catholic moral teaching. And that's what he did. This is me saying this now. St. John Chrysostom is quoted as saying that the lowest level in hell, the basement of hell, the floor of the basement of hell is paved with the skulls of bishops. Well, throw some cardinals on that floor, too. It was Douthat, quote, "It was characteristic of the church's effective truce between conservatives and propagandists, or progressives, rather, that John Paul II himself had given most of them their red hats, elevating them despite their disagreement with his restorationist approach." Now, this has been brought up to me privately by a prelate. I won't mention his name because I get prelates in trouble whenever I do mention their names. As a matter of fact, I effectively got one banned from recording his own sermons in a diocese that shall remain unnamed because I said his name. And some busybody parishioner went and ratted him out because I played his audio. Do you know that? I don't know who it was that ratted him out, but somebody ratted him out to his bishop, and his faculties for recording the sermons and broadcasting them have been removed. Now, where else would the bishop have heard, or would a parishioner have heard Father's homilies being played? Here on the Crusade Channel. You guys and gals that are Founders Past members, you made that possible. Now, I know that he's suffering this ignominious smackdown as a mortification and offering it up as reparations, but that doesn't make it any less humiliating to him. That's what he's doing, though, for the faith, okay? So understand, small as we are in numbers, there are people that are listening, and there are impacts. So I read this to you with my warning warning siren and my own commentary, knowing what may happen. Let it. When journalists talk about Catholicism, they often speak of a man like Cardinal Casper being, as his Wikipedia page puts it, one of the main figures of the liberal wing of the Catholic Church. And this is supposed to make some kind of sense to Catholics. We're supposed to accept it as the reality of our times. There's a liberal wing, see, and a conservative wing, you see. Hey, and Miss White informs us, they're both Catholic. Hey, Shazam! You mean you can be for abortion and still a bishop? Cardinal? Oh, yeah. Can you be pro-sodomite? Oh, pro-pedophilia? Whatever you want. Pro-adultery? Not yes, but hell yes. Oh, and you're going to have you wackos over there that, you know, that are against all these things, too. Back to Hillary White. I'll try to be specific when it's Hillary and when it's me. Back to Hillary White. Steve Skojec told me that our willingness to go along with the whole emeritus pope charade was an error. Here's what Steve said in quotation marks. Quote, she quotes him, "I think the problem is that we all went along with their game of make-believe and we shouldn't have." Close. In fact, I'm starting to think that the willingness of most Catholics to go along with the entire charade of post-conciliar Catholicism has been a grave error. By playing along, by pretending that we could be conservative Catholics in this new paradigm that also includes liberal Catholics, we have helped them perpetrate one of the most monstrous frauds in human history. That's Hillary White. Now, I want to add something to that. This is why I tell friends and why whenever I get the chance to talk about this, let me tell you. This is what this means. Don't run around and call yourself a trad Cath. Don't run around and call yourself a traditional Catholic. Don't do it. I'm in a church, please. We are. I know you are. Here's why. They're the ones that have micturated on the term. They're the ones that have micturated on the doctrine and the dogma. They're the ones that are practicing open heresy, if not outright blasphemy and apostasy. They're the ones who shouldn't be using the term. It's up to us to reclaim it. And that's what we got to do. So how do you reclaim it? Well, first of all, learn. Be humble. You don't know anything. You're an idiot, just like I'm an idiot. We don't know anything. Pray for good priests, for good bishops, for good cardinals to come along to defend the doctrine. Learn what the doctrine says. You ever have a doctrinal question? There's a great place you can find the answer. It's called the Vatican website. It's still there. They haven't altered it just yet. You got any question on any issue of moral theology, it's answered on the Vatican site from the chair itself. You can have whatever adjective you want in front of your name, but it's not necessary in public. You're just a Catholic. And I tell you why. Because when you tell someone that, and then you act as you should, and then you act out the faith as you should, they know. They go like, well, wait a minute. If that guy is Catholic or she's Catholic and she's doing all that, why is it the guy? What about the person down the street that I know that never goes to Mass, rarely sends their kids that are in catechism class to Mass, has never been to confession? Why is that person Catholic? Now, this is not to demonize or vilify anyone. But, folks, there's a war going on out there. You're either going to fight it and join the church militant, or you're not. And if you're a coward, then announce yourself as a coward. War's on, man. Now back to Miss Hillary White. Because of this schizophrenic mindset of the church's leadership since 1965, we have all come to accept the underlying premise that the church is a big umbrella with plenty of room for people of all personal opinions, that such issues as liturgy or matters, you know, of personal taste, you see, that two opposed things can both be Catholic truth. Now, right there, she cites as me again. Right there, hi, me again, don't be alarmed. Right there, she cites the principle of non-contradiction. Something cannot be true and false at the same time. That is a dogma or a philosophical truism. Something cannot be true and false at the same time. Either it's what the philosopher calls these questions have they're prepositions. If a preposition is a question that has a yes or a no answer, okay? So if the answer is yes, meaning Catholic, well, then the answer can't be no, meaning not. Okay, got it? So if something is dogmatic, then it's dogmatic. And that's it. End of story. Don't discuss it. Don't make yourself a heretic. Just agree with it. Nod your head up and down. Say yes. Okay. You're not nodding. Say yes. Okay. You're all good now. Back to Ms. White. The schizophrenia is the model under which conservatives have operated all this time, and by which they have judged a man like Joseph Ratzinger to be a, quote, conservative champion of orthodoxy, close quote. And what has this achieved? Miss White asks, what has this achieved? It created for the men of Cardinal Casper's clique to maneuver their man on the throne of Peter 5 years ago. Again, this is me commenting. Boy, howdy. Truer words and a more brutally honest narrative has not been written about this, but now it has. Back to Hillary White. And by the way, so Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from radio size speakers, always online at crusadechannel.com, always on our app, which I beg you to go download and start using today. Find it in the iTunes Store and the Google Play Store. It's free. Search for Veritas Talk Radio Network. You can watch the show on YouTube every morning. If you're a Founders Pass member, just log into your account at crusadechannel.com. And if you're not a Founders Pass member, then I ask you personally to become one. If you like what you're hearing today, if you like what I told you about the trouble that we're causing out there, the letter that I wrote yesterday about the young man that went to his first confession as a result of listening to the Crusade Channel, I've got two or three dozen other ones just like it, some longer, some of similar brevity. You got a duty to support this endeavor. Don't put it off. Go become a Founders Pass member today. It's the easiest way to support us. Join. I got a note. Remind me to thank someone who upgraded from Founding Brother yesterday to Founding Father level. Back to Hillary White. And you can do all this at crusadechannel.com. Okay, this is Hillary White again, not I. And just like that, the jargon of tolerance and the big umbrella is over. And the purge of faithful, believing, Catholic, religious, seminarians, priests, and academics has begun. Now, why did I choose to do David Marcus's story first about Marquette University? This is why. Because now you see. Okay, so how can are you putting the dude's plan in perspective? Are you clocking? Are you tracking? Marquette can do what it's doing because of the revolt. Notre Dame can distribute condoms now and birth control pills to employees and nuns and priests and children because this has happened. That's why you got to have the narrative. You've got to put it in perspective. Back to Mrs. White. And just like that, the jargon of tolerance and the big umbrella is over, and the purge of faithful, believing, Catholic, religious, seminarians, priests, and academics has begun, as it had to. Oh, man, she is just dealing this. They at least do not harbor this insane contradiction and understand and frequently say out loud that the new paradigm and the Catholic Church are not the same. And their new church is the only one left. Do you realize how profound and powerful that statement is? When the Pope writes Amoris Laetitia, which, by the way, again, I am living, breathing proof that the catechetical, ancient, traditional, if you will, method of divorced and remarried, as is prescribed by the teaching, can and does work. Don't tell me it makes an impossible situation. You're not praying hard enough. Middish Church and I did it for 4 years. Count them. Don't tell us it can't be done, because we did it just as the teaching says it should be done. And when you have people out there saying now, well, I'm writing a new catechism for my archdiocese for divorce and remarriage. You can't do that, sir, bishop. Well, I don't care what you say, Mr. Church. I'm going to do it anyways. Folks, they're making a new church. They're basically telling, how appropriate this comes from the Remnant newspaper. They're basically telling the Remnant, you guys are finished. You're finished. You're done. Now, as St. Ambrose said at the time of the Arian heresy, they got the buildings, so what? We have the faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why it is so vitally important to learn the faith. There is nothing more important that you can do. There is no job other than raising your children and being a faithful wife or husband than loving Holy Mother Church and Church Militant as your spouse. As all of our spouses, knowing what the catechism says, and then laying your life down on the line like the Christians in the catacombs did and defending it. This is catacombs times, brothers. I mean, game on. All Miss White is doing here is just saying, look, stop lying about it, okay? There's a war. They're winning right now. They've got the buildings. They've got the name. And people think that we're nuts. Well, let them think we're nuts. She continues now. This is Miss Hillary White. Again, the title of the essay is Et Tu Benedict, Some Final Thoughts on Joseph Ratzinger. Read it, read it, read it, read it. You can get the link to it at mikechurch.com. It's in Judaeis Veritas et Sapientia. Go read it. For five, back to Miss White. For five decades, we played the Anglican game. As long as we don't talk about it, there isn't a problem, you see. Otto Vianney's holy office and schema were the last gasp of the old church. And as de Lubac said above, it was killed by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. We had a long hiatus in which the popes pretended nothing essential had changed, while the institution around them fell to the new paradigm until the papacy was the only thing left. And again, I'm going to stop and offer my commentary. That's why Benedict the 16th resigned. What little conservatism he had remaining in him and was trying to implement or hold the dam back, if you will. He was basically told, Benedict, it's time to make way. The new church is here. We got a pope. Got a guy that's going to take it. You need to get out of the way. It's time for you to step aside, sir. Father. And he did. That's to make way for the final stage of the revolution, which we're currently living in. Here's Miss White's conclusion. One of the things I've been saying is a blessing in disguise and an enormous relief about the Bergoglian era is that we can finally leave behind us the absurd situation of the Wotila-Ratzinger era. We were expected for all those years to pretend we were in the new springtime of Vatican II while we watched these wolves in shepherd's clothing eating the sheep. Now we can, at least, finally stop pretending that everything is just dandy under the new paradigm of merciful conciliar wonderfulness. For those still wondering, Bergoglio isn't a shock. He isn't even a surprise. He's just the logical end result. This pontificate isn't an anomaly. It was the only possible outcome, and it was as much the work of Joseph Ratzinger as it was, as it is, Walter Cardinal Casper. Close. Quote. Bam! That just happened. So, in summary, basically, what we conclude from this is pretty much what we have been talking about here on the show and why so many people are so puzzled about some certain things around here. One of them being, well, that shit, Mitter Church, please. That's just, that's a matter of interpretation. That's just, that's the stress talking, man. There hasn't been a conspiracy. It's just another phase. It's just another fad. It's just another era, et cetera. There's no threat here, this and that and the other. Oh, no. There's a threat. So all that Hillary White has done is basically put into words what many of you we're already thinking, your humble commentator included.